This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network,
it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're talking with the state chair of the Libertarian Party in Hawaii. Now, the reason I wanted to share this interview with you is that I was very impressed with how an activist is made. What kind of life experience, what kind of character do you have to have a sense of justice or just curiosity, and you just want to understand how things work, and they, them, those don't want you to understand, and then what kind of decisions are made by young families and engaging with the government, their fellow man, and just wanting to be an add to their community. This is very important to me because it explains a lot of my wife and our family that started back in the late 80s as we grew into political activism. Austin's a really good example. Pay attention. I think you'll learn a great deal about the future and my optimism. When you say you have to organize, the point that I wanted to make about the Ron Paul Loveolution and why we were so supportive in creating that and supporting Ron is because I knew that I wasn't going to have to make excuses for Ron. He's a good, hardcore libertarian, anarchist, voluntarist, leave me aloneist, understood the rhetoric, and I didn't have to. I may not agree with him totally on everything and every way of whatever, but I wasn't distracted by having to make excuses for him. You know, it's head down, plow. We just, throw a bunch of attention to him. You know, peace out. You know, rock and roll. So, but it wasn't organized. They tried to organize it, and I did everything I could to keep it unorganized. It had to be spontaneous order. It had to be organized at the local level. It had to be you and your friends making 200 signs a night. I mean, it had to be that kind of thing. So I'm not looking to help you support and build, Hawaii Libertarian Party as much as that just be a natural side effect of whatever you do. I mean, I'm sure that'll happen. But when you make that the goal, sooner, we call it Steiger's Law. Whenever you create an organization around a movement or a cause, sooner or later, every freaking time, the organization becomes more important than the reason you created it. So you can't focus on the organization. You focus on the movement and how that organization can partner with whatever else to support the movement. The Ron Paul Loveolution was a perfect example of that because we here at Phoenix, myself and others, made absolutely sure that there was no central plan for freedom. That does not exist. So when you say we can organize, it'll happen on its own. Or it won't. And if it doesn't, you're not going to be able to force it with a bunch of money and everything to make it work. You know, it's just not going to work. You go on to something else or whatever. But if you have something around a particular issue, like it's always Second Amendment, man. You know, you start messing around people's guns, they, freaking get motivated, And, or their children or their body autonomy or somebody going to force notions and potions in your flesh with a king-approved needle or something. whoa, man, you guys really, some people are going to say no. I don't give a crap what your, you know, county guy with the clipboard says. So this is where my mind is. So when you say organization, I just want to give you that background of what my thought process is on that. What do you
Great
mean?
Point.
What do you mean?
That's a point, and I agree with you. There's a huge danger to any organization that we create, especially a highly centralized one where we try to kind of command and control and organize in like the traditional sense. It's highly, highly susceptible to takeover, hijacking, and the normal pitfalls yep. of human morality. We're going to infight. We're going to have problems, right? Unless we're legitimately united organically by issues that would cause us to turn up anyway, no amount of organization can replace that. But what we can do is we can empower people. We can facilitate people. We can decentralize the organization so that on the local level, the tools are there and the people are able and they know what to do and they know how to make those differences. Most people have been demoralized away from the world of politics to such an extent that they can't engage in it, right? They don't know what to do. People my age have no idea what to do, what organization even looks like on the political level.
Right.
They need a civics.
How long have you been state chair? How long?
I'm brand new to this. I actually just succeeded to the chair in October. Before that, I was elected chair in August. And then prior to that, I was an executive member in exile for almost 2 years.
In exile? What the hell does that mean?
Well, when I sued the Office of Elections, the old executive committee of the Libertarian Party was very concerned that my attempt to report election misconduct would jeopardize their cozy relationship with the Office of Elections and the chief elections officer. Which I can understand from an organization standpoint, you sure need that intact, don't you?
Why?
Right? Of course. Why? Because they can cancel your political party. They could shut us down. They don't like what I'm saying right now on this interview, for instance. They can shut me down, and they don't even really need a reason.
Hell, I can pay them $20 to do that. That's, you know, that's standing, man. That's, are you kidding me? What the crap? Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
When we can embrace suffering well, and when we do the right thing, and people revile us for doing the right thing, sometimes they're helping us more than we ever realize. Because like you pointed out, the organization is kind of disposable. I can create another corporate organization to help to facilitate business, right, that needs to be done. This right. is just about day-to-day. The real organization comes from people in their communities actually understanding what's going on and being involved and not letting the government just run roughshod over the rights of the people, holding them accountable, showing up at those meetings and saying, why are you doing this to us? Why do you think you can shove this centrally planned smart city down our throats? We didn't vote on this, right? So that's kind of where I go with that. I agree with you. Organization is, while there's a like pragmatic necessity, we got to get things done, that's what it's for, it can never replace the thing we're doing. It's a facilitation arrangement is the way that I look at that. And so if the Office of Elections doesn't like the fact that I've called out their violations of law, yeah, they can try to deplatform us. They can try to kick us out. They can try to bring the sky down on us. But the people will be watching. They'll see it. And whoever rises, it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi, strike me down.
Exactly. What I said. Oh, man, the bromance has begun. All right. So this is what, you know, I want to... Let's before we get into some more detail and so on, we're going to go until you're boring or bored. But the, you know, your wife is, what role has she taken for herself in this? Making sure you're fed? I mean, you know, what's the symbiosis between you and your wife?
She is so supportive. So, for years, I've been in the point position on this. And so she is a consummate homemaker. She educates her children. I mean, I help with these things, but like she is a leader in her own right and a homemaker and a wife par excellence. So that historically has been how our relationship goes. The domestic stuff she helps to support so that I can do this. Yeah. And she believes in me, supports me. It's beautiful. Lately, though, we've taken it to another level. I've been able to help her a little bit more around the house, and she's been able to help me with my activities and has become the party secretary. So that's pretty cool. She does an amazing job. She's definitely done a very good job kind of putting out the professional stuff that our party needs in order to show that we've got a serious operation and that we're serious about our goals.
Amazing. They have they, them, those. I call them T3. Okay, T3 has no idea what they're going up against, because I recognize the type of person you are, the experience that you have, the understanding, the perspective, you know, your faith. I mean, I know they are so freaking screwed. And if they mess with you and they don't follow their, you know, guidelines, so have you filed your own actions, your own legal, your lawsuits? Was that you?
Yes, sir. The first thing...
And I bet you had spell checker. I didn't have spell checker except Donna. I mean, it was...
Oh, that's a good point. I never thought of that. Man, I don't know how I could get by without that. I'd need an editor.
Oh, no. Okay, let me tell you how bad it was. When we would do a federal law, because no attorney... I had money then, but there was no attorney. They're like, oh, man, hell no. We definitely are not doing that, you know. And
no
it's just like, it's like, it's bad damage our relationship with government, you know. So I learned how to file pro per, pro se, you know, former pauperous. I can file my own lawsuit against the federal government on a cocktail napkin and sign, on a grocery bag. Okay, let's do that. So, but at the time in the 80s, early 90s, you didn't have kind of word processing, sure as heck, not spell checking, kind of whatever. So what I would do is a Brother laser kind of little, you know, back in the day, laptop-y kind of printer thing that could only store like one or two pages in its memory. We do all that. Donna would check my thing. It was a thing. Now I just have templates of stuff I'd done before, change stuff, fill up, boom, you want to play, let's play. But back then, I didn't have a lot of the facilities that you have in doing this. And the knowledge I would get, I'd have to go to the law library and sit there for 8 hours going over whatever and check out books and home some reference I couldn't take of Black's Law, Legal Dictionary, whatever the hell. So, man, don't even whine to me, okay? But I want to...
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be president.
Well, what is it like now? So as you do these lawsuits, where did you, you know, inform the audience, where did you go to get the formatting? Where did you go to get the structure of it? How did you learn venue, jurisdiction, and standing? How did you? Tell us about your process, because you refused to be denied, so you went and did it. How?
This is a little bit more of a story. I don't want to go over too much detail, but in
maybe
Colorado,
I do.
Okay. In Colorado, I was a medical marijuana care provider for a number of years. I really enjoyed growing. That's how I formed my love of gardening and all of that. And ultimately, it just led to me now growing tropical fruit, which is wonderful. A lot of fun. But I'd moved to a small town, and there was a church in that town that I was trying to attend. And I saw them kick someone out because he had a pot leaf tattooed on his arm. And I felt like,
whoa.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding? I was like, okay, so I was in the music ministry, and I had an opportunity to give an address, and I said I thought that we should be careful not to judge people for things that aren't explicitly in the Bible, and even for someone who may have done something that we're aware of, we need to be able to offer them the same grace that God offers us. And one of our elders, it turned out, who was the driving reason why the guy was removed from the congregation, was the county sheriff.
No!
So he was like, not in my town. And, you know, they had a big poster in the police office. Basically said, you do drugs, we make house calls, and showed them all military geared up. So, you know, the attitude for the local sheriffs was pretty hostile towards the medical marijuana program in Colorado. They tried to bury us under that town. They basically charged me and my wife after the pastor found, or not the pastor, the elder found out, sure, that I was a grower and that I was licensed and all of that. They raided me. They didn't have anything right away. My license was valid. My taxes were paid, all of that. It took them a few weeks to figure out what to do, and ultimately they realized, well, it's an affirmative defense, so we can just charge him with it, and if he defends himself, you know, he might get out of it, maybe not. So they threw 9 different felonies at us. None of them stuck. We weren't convicted of anything. They did try to force us to sign a plea bargain, and this is before I learned anything about the court. They took away my firstborn son for a year. Abra and I had to work
hard. Oh, sons of bitches, man. Oh.
I'm fighting to keep kids out of government concentration
camps. It's
on. I'm unsure about what this fight is about. Like, let's just be real. They will control us by the domestic control grid that they're setting up, the family court systems. They target potential political dissidents. Anyone who shows aptitude, they will target you. They will charge you with frivolous stuff, and it will, the point is to demoralize you and keep you out of the political conversation. Yep. And give them a handle at you. That's what happened out here. So I learned how to defend myself after this first, this round one, shall we say. The sheriff who did this, I actually got in touch with someone I don't want to drop the name here, but I'll tell you, someone powerful found out about what had happened to me and my wife and was so outraged at the story. I mean, like, we were held at gunpoint. Beaten. I mean, I don't want to get into all the
trauma.
No,
they
want to
explain it to you. They're going to explain it to you.
Yeah, so when the chief of security of someone who's fairly powerful found out about what had happened in that county, he said, I'm going to make a few calls. And this is a little bit disturbing because this is really how it works.
Right. That somebody knew who to call, you know.
Yeah, the next thing I know, there's a protective order protecting my wife against the people who are responsible for this criminal conspiracy that they'd executed against us. And the people responsible, apparently, there's process that was initiated against at least one of them. The sheriff, I believe, is dead. The judge, I believe, is also dead. The prosecuting attorney doesn't work in that town anymore. I'm not sure how that all shook out that way. But, like, that's the only, like, real results I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like an episode of Reacher. You know, all of a sudden, they show up and, stuff happens. You know, this is amazing.
Yeah, we were lucky.
Well, how did
we manage?
I want to know about the year that you were without your son. Because I've seen this happen many times. They go after your family. And they take your son. How old was your son? You got him back. How to keep your composure during that time is an amazing, trait. And you get accolades for that. But just tell us about that a little bit.
Sure. So when they took him, it was horrible. It was traumatizing. They actually ripped him out of his mother's arms. And again, they had no reason. There was like no reason. Out of the clear blue sky.
Because they can't.
Yeah, really surprised us. We had no idea, that this was even, possible. This is so dystopian. They blamed us, gaslit us, divided. It was a small town, so divided the whole town. And there were some people in the church who didn't agree with what was being done, and they helped provide us a place. And if they hadn't, we would have been pretty screwed because we got out of jail with nothing but the clothes on our back. They had our dog shot, and they sold all of our stuff while we were incarcerated. Took our kid and everything we owned and my business and everything. So total reset, and I had a concussion in jail, and they were telling me basically, you don't get to go to the hospital unless you confess. I kid you not. So they interrogated me for a good, 48 hours before they decided to take me into the hospital. I'm bleeding out my head. I've got a concussion. It's bad. So, they screwed me up pretty good. During that year, all the things they did were nothing compared to what it was like to experience the anxiety of being bereaved of a child. There's nothing like it. And to those parents who've experienced this pain, what it does to families is awful. If you think that the CPS and the family court system is protecting abused children, you need your head examined.
We're with you, brother. We know. I've heard this. Wow. This is. And then to have someone that's experienced the real arm of the law in the hands of someone like this sheriff. How do you.
Nine felonies. including attempted murder. Who did we murder?
Good question. There's no complaining party.
So yeah, the thing was the worst sham I've ever actually seen, or even heard about, honestly. We're lucky. You guys got to realize lucky's not even the right word. We're blessed. God watched out for us and punished our enemies, and we had nothing to do with it, you know? And so that way it's nice to be carried, and it's nice to know that even in the worst, in the belly of the beast, God has not forgotten you, and it's not over. And if I had lost my patience and decided to go postal like I so wanted to, I wouldn't have my son today. He is going to turn 14 later this month. And so I'm so blessed, like, to have this. So we spent almost a year apart where we had supervised visitations the whole nine yards.
How old was he? Like,
he was about one. He was a year old. So he's still an infant.
18 months on the dot.
18 months on the dot when it happened.
This is so evil. Okay, I want to make this statement. You know, this is basically what you're saying here. This always winds up being a battle between good and evil. You know, it's how, you know, evil, what's that? It's subjective. You know, we know the truth. Truth, what's the truth? You know, it's subjective. I tell you what, it's not. It's not lies. How about that? You know, we know that, what's the truth? Not a lie. Okay, let's start off right. Can we agree on that? Okay. So the violence that the state is willing to do, but it's not, you know, the state, not the state. That's not the point. It is the mindset of are delegating authority and power to the state. That there is, we abdicated our responsibility for ourselves and our own self-governance and our community and everything under the fear that we need to have, you know, this entity that's going to protect us from whatever the heck. And then the bad guys, the evil, that's where they go. That's where they gravitate. That's where they become sheriff. That's where they get the attorney generals. That's where they get. Once you realize that, you have to have all your activism and all your awareness and all of your efforts devoted to general public opinion. It is where the people understand. In your community, there's enough people that understood, and people even outside going, this is definitely, you know, we're going to take care of business. So, and the other thing is, being in the marijuana industry, to have a sheriff do this, heck, they're probably waiting on that, and, you know, God knows what happened, you know? And so there's, stuff happens, but you're peaceful, and his wife, to have this family, to have support, because it's a good investment. That's the one thing I definitely wanted to get across.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
USA News Update. Holiday-bound air travelers are encountering delays and cancellations due to a significant storm affecting the East Coast today. FlightAware reported over 2,500 flights have been delayed within, into, or out of the U.S., with just over 500 flights canceled. Boston Logan International Airport facing the most substantial impact, with more than 300 delayed flights and just over 200 cancellations. America's top defense officials is visiting Israeli leaders today, hoping to get an update on the Gaza war.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's visit comes as President Biden has criticized Israel over mounting civilian casualties. Israel's trying to destroy Hamas. There have been hints Israel could move to a lower intensity strategy in the new year. And if that's the case, Austin said he wants to hear the plan.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. Welcome back to our conversation with Austin Martin, Hawaii's Libertarian Party state chair, and the making of an activist family. Why is it that you're focused on the election part of it? I mean, you kind of accidentally got in on that issue, and it's a good one. That's a base fundamental of everything, which is why I how do they get away with this stuff? It's always election law, because they are able to put the people in, then appoint the people in, then the people that are in, that stay in, that do it. You know, they use the elections as their excuse to do it. Well, we're not even going to have an election in 24. BS. They're always going to have an election. They need an election, okay? They're definitely going to electrify you, you know? So why is it for you that you feel that that's important to pursue that issue as state chair of the Libertarian Party in Hawaii?
That's a really good question, and thank you for asking. I totally stumbled into this by accident. To be totally honest, nobody else wanted the job of observing the election. It was a short straw, and so I was just willing I wasn't actually expecting to see anything. I was expecting it to be super boring, and but sure enough, it got really exciting when the Heart Inter Civic employees started lying on the spot about stuff that on their website was different. And, you know, I started asking them about it, and then they you know, when you're talking to someone, it's pretty clear to flush out when someone's lying. It's honest, right? I mean, unless you consume too much mainstream media, it really only takes a few seconds. I should have probably mentioned this earlier. I have about 5.5 hours of audio and video recordings of Heart Inter Civic and county employees working together to rig the election from Hilo, Hawaii.
Of course, you
I
can.
Haven't really. I need to kind of chop it up into more manageable pieces, and I'm technologically challenged. My off-grid lifestyle does limit me to some extent, but I mean, obviously, I have communications. So why the elections? Why is
okay,
that such
stop.
Important?
Gosh darn it. I hate when you guys say crap like that. Now you're vulnerable. They're going to do it. I never told I had anything, and one reason why we have Freedom's Phoenix, because I had the servers, the mechanism, the noted IPFS servers, everything to take all this stuff, load it up, it's there forever and always, and now you can suck it, okay? The fact that you haven't put that up publicly, we got to do that, like, now, you moron. I mean, you do not say that crap.
I haven't switched. If anything happens to me, they know.
No, all right.
I told them. I mean, I straight up put it in litigation. I was like, look, you know, I have this. Here's the link. Here's this. And I have 3 backup copies. So if anything happens to me, this hits the press. I didn't release it right away because all I wasn't trying to influence the decision. I wanted to, like, give them a legitimate chance to rule on it without, you know, trying to bring public pressure to bear.
Glad you put it up. You got it there. You can chop it up, have some fun with it. But I'm telling you, this is the kind of stuff that gets you killed, okay? I just say it. So everything that I did, I always had it documented, Dead Man Switch, put out 15 gazillion different ways from Sunday, and now that we have IPFS, I don't know if you know what it is, but it's decentralization of a bunch of nodes of files. Now, when we do this show, the video, the MP4, I don't put it on, but we're going to start beginning of next year since Rumble and X have been telling them to go F themselves. And so, all right, I'll allow you to put my stuff on, you know. But the we dropped everything. I mean, we still kind of interact, but all of the files that we have are encrypted. They're on our servers or on IPFS, the video, so that it can never be censored, edited, deleted. It is there forever, hashed as a file of this is what really happened, so you can suck it, okay? This is why we do this, for this reason. So I just want to make sure you get in that mindset, and we have the tools for you to be able to do that, so that you're not saying crap like that, and then you become a target. Just say it, okay? So that's why I say it.
Sorry. I'd be happy to share the work I've done on that with you. I have again, I have about 5 hours of recording, and it's evidence of fraud.
What does it get? What's the size of the file? If you were to, you know, make it available, I give you a place to download FTP at the blah blah blah. How big are we talking about?
I think it's like 300 something megabytes. But I'd have to get out of our.
I left that 300 megabytes. Okay, hell, this show is going to be more than that. All right, so this is what we do. You can get me those files. We'll talk off air and how we'll transfer these files. Or I'll just give you an account. We'll just do it. You know, boom, done. So this is something that we can get up and then link to this show. So anytime anybody doing, they find out about, yeah, look at that link right there. You see that hash? There's all the stuff. And okay? So this is one of the services and the mechanism and some of the software that we use by which you can do this kind of stuff. Just save it to this distributed, decentralized nodes of people that participate in this, and it's copied all over the internet, can never be taken down. Unless they blow up the internet. But, you know, so this is...
love to see it go far and wide, and I'd love to see it get censor-proof, because there's some really good information there. They talk about exactly the process of how the votes are transmitted and how we can't see the results locally until the state receives them on their central machine, and then they tell us what our local results were. our handbook says a little bit different. Those results are supposed to be locally verifiable when you send them off to the state so that there's transparency and you know that the result you're getting back is the same tally that you got when it was tabulated on site, right? So there's like very clear violations of election procedure. There's clearly misconduct from the vendor. There's the worst customer service you've ever seen. You know, it's kind of a fun thing to dig into. But, okay, why the elections? You asked me that earlier. Part of it is I ended up here by divine providence. But when I realized what was happening, when I saw for my own eyes that this really is being rigged, this is not sore loser syndrome, this is not conspiracy land, this is the truest reality of our situation. Realizing that, it makes sense. Why can't we fix the judiciary? Well, if you don't have good elections, you can't fix your executives. You can't fix your legislature. And whatever operations are going to be run on your people, you have no way to stop it effectively, right? So realizing that the elections were being played with is a big deal. That also means that the incumbents are ready to take this to the map. Once you start cheating on the elections, you're basically requiring some level of defensive force from the legitimate government to stop you, right? So they know that the risk is that if anybody gets into office who's even remotely serious about being an anti-corruption candidate, that they're going to come and charge these people and arrest their predecessors, as they should, right? When somebody's breaking the law in an official capacity, we have to apply the law to them more strongly, not less strongly, because these positions are fiduciary, they're public trust. We don't give these people a privilege because they serve. Right. Their service is a risk and gives them an advantage, one which they must be accountable for. And that's the difference between today's attitude of worshiping officials versus the founding fathers' attitudes of holding them in check to the public will.
OK, I got a question. As I'm looking at your site and I'm going, all right, let's see what's up here. Who was the web page master? Who put this together, selected?
Whatever. Oh, it's a disaster. So our website's not that bad. It's just it's kind of a mix. We have a member who generously helps us with the hosting on it. But, you know, I just recently got control over the site, to be honest, and I've only made barely any edits to it, just to our names and keeping the information as current as possible. But yeah, so like my LPHI chair temporary address is down there so that I can get contact.
Well, no, I was just interested. They're featured running for office. They got a picture of Ron Paul here. And I was like,
oh,
I'm like, okay, cool. Well, they're not running from that. And you got the Mises guys and so on. See, I have enough contacts, and I know a lot of these guys that if I said, you know, like Arizona, I haven't even, the holidays, we just got back, like Halloween, to finish our Love Bus Liberty tour. We're back. I'm back! Which is one reason why we're doing, you know, the trash can flyer thing. Well, yeah, I'm getting some mic noise. It's rubbing on something. Where's your mic? When you're dealing with campaigns and candidates and the national party and all that kind of stuff, there's competing interests. You know, national, it king making, we, you know, a little bit of 10,000 here, 100,000 there, we'll make sure this Republican primary goes this way of the national, of the anti-war movement, but we really want of the energy vote of the pipeline of some crap. You know, there's always something going on that you don't really know about or that will influence. So I go, yeah, don't help the Hawaii people. They'll mess up our relationship with the national, blah, 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 blah. You know, so there's that. I can tell when I smell the BS pretty quick. I can talk to these people, and I want to encourage at least paying attention to the kind of things that you're doing, because I can see that you're going to come to the attention of important people and live an interesting life. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. So what I want to do is, how are you communicating with or get any help from or attention from the National Libertarian Party, or do you even care?
Well, let me say this. Before Mises Caucus took over National, they were worse than useless. Once Mises Caucus took over National, suddenly there's responsive people up there who are listening to the state affiliates and actually care what's going on.
Awesome.
They definitely gave us advice. They supported us. They helped us out with some parliamentary consulting from a really great professional who helped us through some difficult things in our board transitions. The old EC hates my guts and wants me to die. But they also want me to rewrite their bylaws. So I don't know. It's a really weird situation. But the National has been instrumental in kind of helping to kind of restore the peace out here. So I have to give them a little bit of credit. And again, Mises Caucus, I mean, they're your Ron Paul guys. You know, they're your love illusionaries. And
well, I communicate with them. The problem is that they're I have to be a voice, which I always was as I ran for national chair and so on, about doing this kind of thing and helping people like you, is that the party needed to be decentralized. It needed to be the states, and that national LP be of service to the states, where the attitude before was the states just do what the hell we tell them. It was a central authority. They drank the Potomac water or something. I'm like, who are you people, man? You do not make up us. We make up you. You know, I just I'm just so pissed off so many times.
With, like, you know, they failed to speak out during COVID. That was one of the biggest criticisms that I brought to the board was, like, where are you guys? You know, I'm being arrested for what got me into the scene in Hawaii. I went into Walmart one morning, okay? I was out of coffee. And if you know me very well, you know that's not good if I'm out of coffee. So I also failed to bring my ukulele with me. And if you know anything about me, I'm in my worst form. If I don't have my uk within arm's reach, something's wrong. So anyway, I was in a really bad mood. And I walked into Walmart, and I'd forgotten my mask. And the night before, I'd read this article about how Walmart was rethinking their mask policy and all this. So I walked in without even really thinking about it. Early in the morning, and the guy at the entry is like, sir, you need to put on a mask. And, oh, man, I was mad. I had one in my pocket, and so I took it out, put it on. I also said, this is Nazi policy, and you're a Nazi. I was really mad. It was a bad morning. Well, apparently, this man thought that my calling him a Nazi was a crime, and they told me to leave for Walmart. So I said, fine, I don't want to spend money with Nazis anyway. You know, didn't argue with them, just turned around, walked out, didn't make it past the entrance. I'm going to find somewhere else to buy coffee this morning. And they actually followed me out. They had their Securitas employees come out with their little phones recording me as if I'd, like, stolen something, like something weird. Like, and Abra was with me. She didn't say a word. She's just quietly walking with grumpy me in the morning. And they're following us, and she's like, I'm scared. Like, why are they following us? Like, what's going on? They followed us to our car, and then they blocked us in. They wouldn't let us leave. All I did was call them Nazis. You know, like, are you trying to prove to me what not Nazis you are?
Not really.
The cops, they don't even bother to really investigate the situation. They already know what they're there for. Like, out here, it's everybody knows somebody, right? Everybody's got a cousin on the police force, right. Whatever. So they show up, and they immediately ask for my ID, and I'm like, I'm happy to identify myself, but I'd like to know if there's a reason. Am I a suspect? Am I required? Am I being detained? Right? And they were like, yeah, you're being detained. And I was like, okay, what for? I'm not going to talk to you. They didn't tell me. And anyway, as they start talking to the other people, I asked another officer. I was like, sir, you know, like, we're really glad you're here. They weren't letting us leave. You know, I don't think there's anything else to talk about. We've been standing here. Can we just go? And he said, yeah, you know what? Obviously, this is stupid. You guys can go. Thank you, sir. So we, you know, waved bye. And the other officer who originally told me I was being detained was like, stop them. And they took us down. And they arrested us very, very forcefully. Took us to jail for disorderly conduct and for violating the Emergency Powers Act. Me and Abra both. She didn't say anything. She was arrested for being next to me. At least we looked good on that day. but anyway, so that's what started it. And then I, knowing how to defend myself, having been through kind of the gamut of these things, I brought a very simple challenge saying, hey, you have no complaining party and your charging documents don't actually allege a crime. Right? That's pretty reasonable. Like, they haven't actually accused me of anything. They just arrested me and dumped me in your court. Judge, please dismiss this. And they freaked out. They actually mistook that argument for a Hawaiian sovereignty argument. They thought the fact that I called for a jurisdictional plead the jurisdiction, they interpreted that as a challenge to the legitimacy of the state government and the judiciary. And this is not the first or the only time that this kind of thing has happened out here. Like, this happens all the time.
So they thought you set him up. He's setting us up!
Something like that. Man, I don't even know. So, yeah, no, they tried to use ABRA as leverage. They were like, hey, you know, your wife seems like she's nice. She didn't do anything wrong. If you give us a statement without a lawyer, we'll let her go for free without charges. Oh, really? Oh, wow, I was born yesterday. What a great idea. Except I actually know how to litigate, so I was like, you guys want to interview me? Cute. So we did, and they got nothing, and they let ABRA go, true to their word, and they didn't charge her until later, after I'd been to court once, and, you know, all that. The next day, they improperly, I think they backfiled it, because we were looking on their system, but the next day, after my hearing, there's apparently a warrant for ABRA. Now, again, we have to take their word for it because we didn't know about it for months till after that, because how could we? You know, she was never noticed. She was never given an order to appear. She never agreed to appear. And the charges that ultimately were brought against her were not the same charges that they had originally threatened.
What were her charges? Standing there?
They charged her with disorderly conduct and violating the mask mandate, but they originally tried to charge her with harassment. And again, she was silent, didn't say a word, like, just stood there like a bystander, did nothing. It's crazy. So we fought for 9 months before I got elected to an executive position in the Libertarian Party, and then I let the prosecutor know that that happened, and 1 hour later, my charges are dropped. What do you know? And you know what? They filed a statement of no opposition saying, yeah, we might have committed fraud on the court. In writing. I've never had such unmitigated success from accusing a prosecutor of misconduct. I was amazed. ABRA, however, has a warrant for missing a court date that she could have never possibly known. And the judge refuses to vacate it. To this day, right? She could be arrested. And there's nothing that anyone can do. There's not a lawyer who will touch this case. I mean, I could offer $10,000 for a lawyer to take this, and they won't. They won't touch it. That's what judicial misconduct is like. It's very very strange. So we have no representation, no rights, none of that. And there's just this nice little basic agreement. You know, Judge Lava probably knows it's not worth pursuing this much more, and she knows that I've already sued her and brought her to federal court for the first time in her career, and she knows that it probably would go over very poorly for her should she try to execute that thing, but the cops won't execute the warrant. They refuse. They know it's not valid. It actually shows that it's not valid.
Okay, let me ask a couple of questions here. You live on the big island of Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the population of Hawaii state, and what's the population on the Big Island?
There's some debate about this because the number of vacationers, if you're talking about registered people and unregistered
voters,
people. Let's give a ballpark, about 1.5 million people statewide and about 250,000 on Big Island.
The Big Island landmass is probably all the other islands put together, I would imagine, about.
Big Island has an extremely low population density. It's comparable to places in Alaska.
Okay, so this is, when somebody is knocking on your door, they know what's up. They know somebody that knows you, or they know you, or they, I mean, this is not a secret, okay? So what are you really dealing with? They get their orders from what?
I have a theory on this. You might not like it, though. I think, you know how in the 80s there was always an ongoing running joke about the permanent record?
Right. Now go on your permanent record. Okay.
Yeah, it's real. It's real. They think
sure as hell is now. They got your social credit score, whether they call it that or not, you know?
They've been rolling this out progressively for a couple of decades now. So there's a back-end file that judges can look at that contain all kinds of information which they should not be able to look at, which would seriously prejudice their ability to make a fair decision with respect to your case, especially if you fall into the category of what they consider an anti-government activist or an anti-government extremist. And in order to fall into that category, all you have to do is challenge jurisdiction without a lawyer. If you make a valid legal defense saying, hey, this isn't valid because, you know, they got the wrong guy, and you don't have a lawyer to do that for you, they'll call you an anti-government extremist, and you'll never be treated the same in court again. That is what's happening.
All right, this is what I say a lot, and I want to, you know, this is confirmation here. If you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. So this is kind of where you're at, you know? And my thing, I've got, I can't, probably over, like, 15 lawsuits. You know, half of them federal, half of them state. State Supreme Court three times. Ninth Circuit, you know, and helped a couple other guys with different stuff. Done, you know, outsquitted. They know who I am. I got the prosecutors at the January 6th table yelling at me what I got to do. And me going all, you know, Austin on them. And just like, hey, man, I say Fifth Amendment. Well, you can't, because you can't. Fine, you can tell me on the bench. Well, we're sending you, why we're subpoenaing you, got it. I go, all right, let's do it. Damn it, he won't do it. Okay, you can go home. I mean, you know, it's just, but that doesn't mean I'm not on the list, you know. So this is one of the reasons why, even when I had my restaurant for like 5 years, we owned a family restaurant, about every 3 to 6 months, I had to do some activist thing, I felt, to keep me up on the list, to protect me from staying in the public eye, because when they can or they want to, they're going to get you, and which they keep trying. So now, is this a permanent part of your life? You're stable enough, you're homesteaded enough, you got neighbors, you're, you know, a low-density area of the Big Island of Hawaii with communication access to whatever the heck, and you can do your job and provide for your family, and I get to go out and farm in the morning. And you have raising of the kids with leave alone-ism. You got enough notoriety, so hopefully they won't try and take your children away again, you know, that you're willing to take these battles on with the full understanding of what you're really up against. So that's kind of where you're at, and you have the support of your wife. That is rare. I just want you to understand how rare it is.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.